Have you had the experience of watching one of those, frankly, lousy horror movies? Do you know the kind that I mean? Those sort of B-real ones? The ones who are not very good. And you don't watch them for long and realize that there is no way that this will end well. Cheesy, nonsensical plot lines. You know it's not going to end well. In fact, some of them are, almost formulaic. The characters seem a little bit stupid, carelessly walking into unreasonably dangerous situations, but still, you can't stop watching. Maybe a group of college kids. Maybe it's a young family on vacation or a trip back to a family reunion, only to end up at that, the old abandoned house. The old place may be deep out into the woods, far from town, far from help, and you know it's not going to end well. But by now you feel almost dumb for having watched it this long. And they arrive and they notice that, the front door is ajar. And that's, of course, when the lightning strikes in the background. And, they just can't help but themselves, but they go inside. There's ominous music and dark shapes. There's cobwebs, and pretty soon a pigeon stirs and flies out, and your heart stops a beat. And you know this just cannot end well. But you're still watching. The old house creaks. Oh, is that the wind? Is that moaning that I hear from down the stairs? And then the young mom or the young college co-ed goes to the basement door, and the hinges squeak, and it's totally black down there, and you know that this just can't end well. But now you're hooked. Even if it's dumb, you can't stop. Pretty soon, you're screaming at the screen, "Don't go! Don't go down the stairs! Turn around! Get back in the car! Call 911! Do something!" And you know it can't end well. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and it doesn't take long that the happy palm parade, sets him at odds with all those who are powerful. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and it doesn't take long, and all that giddy anticipation of the new boss gives way to something else, and already there are plots to arrest him. Jesus comes to Jerusalem, and it doesn't take long, and the promise of this new messianic king, this one with plans, this one with power, there's something ugly stirring in the background. And you know this can't end well. And just like the hundreds of times before, they shared the meal. Remember the meal? The one with prayers and wine. The one with lamb and psalms. The one with memories and hopes. Maybe sitting around in a circle or reclining around in a circle around that table. Jesus and the 12 and Jesus surely with others as well. But partway through, Jesus seems troubled and distressed. Jesus seems upset. And he explains that one of them will betray him. And you know, it can't end well. Pretty soon, Jesus is dipping his matzah in the cup, in that sauce with one of the 12. And who is it? It's Judas. Jesus knows him. It's Judas. Jesus sees him, and Jesus understands him. It's Judas. And Jesus loves him. But Jesus doesn't stop him. "Do quickly what you are going to do." Oh, I don't know if he whispered that or not. But it was intimate, and it was clear, and it was right in his ear. So Judas leaves, And the text says it was night. We know this can't end well. In fact, we know what happens. We know he goes to the temple to conspire. We know that he goes to the temple to get paid. We know that he goes to the temple to make a plan, to kiss, to betray, and even to end his own life, right? I suppose it would be easy to blame Judas, make all of it his fault, his betrayal. Easy to blame Judas and make it all his doing. And yet I think, in a sense, I recognize this miserable actor. I think I understand his role in the play. I know why his character does what he does. Judas is trying to avert the catastrophe. Judas is just trying to shut down all of this before it gets way out of hand. Judas is merely trying to contain the uncontrollable and the inevitable. Forgive me for insulting the accountants, but that was his job. Judas was the practical one. Judas was the reasonable one. Somebody has to stop this. Somebody has to take charge. Somebody has to do something to keep them from killing us all. I can't blame Judas. Because in a certain way, maybe I am Judas, the denier. I am Judas, the betrayer. I am Judas, the failure. And I know this can't end well. One of the Gospels describes Jesus as having looked at him. He loved him, even at his worst moment. Judas, even at his most grievous infidelity, his most pathetic disappointment, he's loved. Perhaps in the end, that's the only thing that can save Judas, love. Maybe that's the only thing that can save any of us. No act on my part makes me worthy. No decision, no prayer, no intention to lead a better life. No, I know that can't end well. Jesus knows that too. There's no shortcut, no alternate course, no less expensive option. This love would cost him dearly. This love for bums like Peter, like Mary, like Jim, like Carol, like Carrie, Leisha. This love for bums like Judas would not come easy. I have a favorite sticker here. It says, "Before I die, I want to love." Maybe it will end well. Maybe. Amen.